This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with Frank Santopadre, and this is another episode of Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions with old black blues singer Knuckleless. He was born without knuckles.
That's got to be painful.
I tried to have my head sewn back on after the last episode.
And he can't visit people because he can't knock on the door.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah, why can't he kick it with a tap it with his foot?
It's tragic.
Hi, Paulie.
It's tragic. Hi. I hope the readers and the fans love hearing about my medical reports because it means a lot
to
me.
That would be a thrill.
Did I thank Kirk Hammett on a previous episode for sending us wonderful swag?
You did.
Okay. Well, I don't have to do it again, but thank you.
It's pretty fantastic. And also, Kirk, if you're listening, I'm the furthest thing from a medium.
Right. Thank you again, Kirk, for the wonderful swag. We will put that up on Facebook. If we haven't already, who knows when this episode will post. So here's what we're doing. We always read Twitter questions. We get complaints from the lovely fans and friends and folks at the Listener Society. Hey, why don't you do questions from us? So we're going to alternate. I'm going to throw in some tweets. Paul's going to read some questions from the Listener Society. Frank is going to read some questions from the Listener Society.
Sounds like complete chaos.
It does sound like complete chaos, doesn't it? Gilbert's going to nap.
Yeah.
And everyone has a role.
I'm going into that zone where you're going to have to keep going, so, Gilbert, you wear shoes, right?
like the Billy Kramer episode?
Yes.
That's now known as a Peter Fonda.
Yeah. So we will try to answer as many of these as we could possibly get to.
This could take hours.
In the time allotted. It's summer. It's 740 fucking degrees in this booth. Gilbert had a stroke 20 minutes ago. And here we go. Paul, you want to kick us off?
All right, from Todd Ginter. Now, this is a bit of a trick question, I think. What is the origin of Gilbert giving such a long and detailed introduction to each guest? How do you do it, Gilbert?
Well, I think it's when we're not sure if the guest has anything to say, we fill it up with an intro.
I think there's a couple of reasons for it. We try to remind people of all that they've done to get them up to speed because the show is an historical
document.
Yes.
These are kept in the Library of Congress at the Smithsonian, actually.
Well, we try to cover the entire guest's career. The other thing is it's a nice warm-up. It's kind of Richard Kind calls the show a 60-minute blowjob, which is very flattering.
We try 90-minute
blowjob. We try to flatter the guests by putting as much of their accomplishments in there as we possibly can. And then they were shorter if you go back and you listen to the old episodes. Right. And over time, they just expanded and expanded and became a running joke.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I like about them. Every introduction goes along and it's nice and does what you say. And there's always a sneaky little kicker at the end, you know, like...
we put one in.
Yeah.
Please welcome a man who...
Who was the only person ever to have stepped
Correct.
Off.
Correct. There's always a twist ending.
Right.
Gilbert always has a quip about them being found dead in their Los Angeles apartment.
Yeah. It's part of the level of art people don't understand. The creativity
a lot of
that
thought,
goes
good
into
time going into them. Okay. Did that answer that question?
I think so.
Okay. All right, Frankie, you're up.
I've got a Listener Society member, Laura Ciani or Ciani, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Is Gil watching I'm Dying Up Here? And if yes, what is his take?
Are you watching the Showtime show I'm Dying Up Here?
Wow, I've lost track of how many of these shows about comedians there are.
Movies about comedians.
Yes.
Some that you're in.
Yeah.
This is not the one with Artie Lang.
No.
I did an episode of Crashed.
Crashing. Right.
I did an episode of Crashing, Judd Apatow's.
This isn't the
show.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
He's in that too.
Yes.
He's in the pilot.
Yeah. I'm in the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I do a short bit.
And you're in the comedian, the De Niro
with
picture.
Robert De Niro, yeah.
Right.
And
you're in the original Enter Laughing with Renny Santoni. Are you not?
We got to get Renny
Santoni. We'll put the word out. Find Renny Santoni.
You know who else was in the pilot? Marlon Brando. And I think the pilot at the time was, who's that comedian?
Yeah, yeah, Richard Pryor.
Yes.
I know where you're going.
I don't know. Does this have to do with Marlon Brando fucking Richard Pryor in
Boy,
the ass?
Boy, that came in at the 5-minute mark. Yeah. That we broke a record. You are, but you are not watching, if I may. You are not watching I'm Dying Up Here.
No, I don't think I've ever seen an episode.
I think it's loosely based on the Comedy Store in Mitzi. I think the main character is based on Mitzi
Not
Shore.
To be confused with I'm Dying In Here, loosely based on this show.
Yes. And yes. 170 degrees in this booth at the moment. All right, Raybone.
So I got a couple different responses here that I think work together.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. Tell us.
So Ed Marcus says.
Oh, Ed Marcus.
Any possibilities of golden age porn stars?
Oh,
such as Jerry Butler, Ron Jeremy, or Kay Parker.
Jerry Butler was a soul singer.
Or would-be golden age porn stars such as Gilbert Gottfried, who is never quite...
Golden age porn star on the show.
Now, here's...
Who was that one? I think he may have died, though.
The one that looked like Elliot Gould? Jamie Gillis?
No, not Jamie Gillis.
Elliot Gould.
But the one who from Deep Throat.
Johnny Holmes,
not John Holmes, the other guy.
I don't know. Gerard
Deep Throat.
Gerard Damiano.
Was it Rex? He was the director.
I'm throwing names out.
Was it Rex something or? For Christ's sakes.
He can't research. He's asking questions. I'll research
it. Deep Throat.
Right. I'll research it.
So
it was famous.
He's in Harry Reams.
Harry Reams.
Yeah, Harry Reams is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of those guys died. Died. I think Jamie Gillis died.
Yeah, he died.
Harry Reams is dead. John Holmes is dead.
Only the good die.
Marilyn Chambers is dead.
Bazzini is dead.
Strachey. Mo Green.
Now this here's the interesting thing. Randy Phillips.
But Michael, I am the hunted one.
he's doing the Turk. Yeah. He's doing Salozzo. Also dead, by the way.
Yes,
that actor.
He was terrific.
What the hell was his name? It just jumped out of my head. Alatiri.
Yeah.
Also gone.
He's
in The Getaway.
Yeah, in The Getaway.
Pause, The Getaway.
And he was in that movie with Charles Bronson.
Mr. Majestic?
Yes.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Look at how the two of us work in concert. We're like Sandler and Young.
There are 7 billion people on Earth, and only two of you who know all those.
Come marching in. Except that
I want to be in that number. All right. What were you saying,
well,
Rainbow?
So here's the deal. So if we could get some of these people who weren't dead... Randy Phillips writes in and says, any chance of you guys ever starting a video podcast? Now, that would be perfect. Golden age porn stars on a video podcast.
That's another loaded question. There are many reasons why we don't do video on the podcast.
And that's foremost among them.
I've explained them in the past. I may explain it again. Part of the reason, too, and I think Gil will agree. Gil, I'm over here.
Yes. No, you're just supposed to say... Gil, you've listened to podcasts, haven't you?
Gil, you use shoelaces.
Yes.
This show relies upon candor and the stars kind of telling fly on the wall,
right.
Tales out of school stories. We worry that if we shoved a camera in their face, they would be more self-conscious and less forthcoming.
It's kind of like there have been situations where I've been with other comics at a table and we're joking and having laughs and a good time. And people say, oh, you know, a bunch of comics sitting around the table every week, that would be hysterical. And it's like, if you made it into an actual show, everyone would come there with like prepared
material.
Everybody
be self-conscious and freeze up and you'd lose the spontaneity of it.
Like the spontaneity we have here.
Yes.
Hey, that leads to a question from Ed Marcus.
Did you miss out on this magic?
Ed Marcus wants to know, and Ed's got a lot of questions. I'm just going to pick this one.
Go ahead.
Because it ties into another comment. Has anyone ever pitched Gil on starring on a TV show? And what's funny is during the Bill Macy clip we put up months ago, if people remember that, Greg Pear commented that Bill Macy should be cast as Gil's father and a sitcom, which I think would be pretty great.
Well, I believe
Gilly and Billy.
I believe Larry David wrote a sitcom for Gilbert.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
yeah. Norman's Corner.
Was that supposed to be a one-off, or was that supposed to be a pilot for a series?
It was what they call, and get your punchlines ready. It's what they call in the business a backdoor pilot.
Ah.
We already did that.
We already talked about Brando and Brando.
Yeah. And what that means is that you don't actually say it's a pilot. You show it as a special with the hopes.
Got it.
That it'll get made into a series.
Right.
And this one was pretty hopeless.
As my memory serves, that was called as part of the Cinemax comedy experiment?
Yes, yes. That was a failed experiment.
Yeah, Norman's Corner, written by Larry David. It's on YouTube.
And I've said this before, but it's worth
saying. Arnold Stang's great in it, by the way.
Yes! And it was my idea to have Arnold Stang.
That was the best part.
But the best part about it is when they were pitching Seinfeld as a series, they said, well, who's going to write it? And they said, Larry David. And the studio exec said, isn't he that guy that wrote that piece of shit to Gilbert Godfrey?
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've got another one here from Jim Wright.
Okay.
If this is too personal, Gilbert, don't feel you have to answer.
Oh yes. Right.
Does Gilbert still pop into clubs and work out material, or does he only work when he is guaranteed to get paid and have a free meal?
That's it. Yeah. I think you've answered the question.
Is Jim Wright a club owner?
I don't know.
You're not one to work out new material in a club. You're not one to pop in.
I used to be obsessed with working out new stuff.
And pop in.
Yeah, and popping in.
Yeah.
Now it's like I have to force myself to work when I'm getting paid to work.
Right.
Yeah.
What a treat that must have been for comics, for an audience who came to a show just to see, you know, open micers
yes.
Then you would pop in.
Yeah.
And hey, Gilbert Gottfried's here to try out some new Corbett Monica material.
Yes.
New jokes about Esther Roll.
Yeah. Imagine if your waiter was Robert Mitchum. It might go something like this.
I miss the days of the pop-in.
Yes.
All right, Verderosa.
Joe Montoto wants to know, what is the boy's opinion of the swimmer being able to be seen as the unofficial precursor to falling down in Eyes Wide Shut as I hold it to be? I can't read.
The swimmer is the precursor to Eyes Wide Shut.
And falling down.
Not quite getting that, are you?
I'm not getting that either.
Having seen all three of them, and they're very different.
Yeah.
I mean, Eyes Wide Shut is about infidelity and obsession and trust and sexual obsession. And falling down is about a guy who snaps and fights back against the system.
Is Eyes Wide Shut meant to be watched start to finish or just fast-forwarded through? I may have done it wrong.
to watch her name's ass. What was
Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
In that movie, greatest ass ever.
Yeah.
That was just perfect.
Good thing your wife's not here to hear that.
Yes.
I concur.
Yeah, and Nicole Kidman, God bless her, especially her early days. She had no problem getting naked for movies.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Our favorite kind of actress.
Yes. If only Marie Dresler was like that.
Something you don't say about Mildred Natwick.
If only Thelma Ritter.
Macy's ain't got any. Nobody's got any. Mr. Raybone?
I lost the listeners.
Nice job. Paul Raybone, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well, without knuckles, it's hard to work this thing.
I know. It's your knuckleless. You're really up against it.
I think what he meant to ask was what Joel Beaver was going to ask, which is, will you ever get any of the Petticoat Junction girls on the podcast? By which I think they mean as a guest.
Well, let's see. Matt, the Petticoat Junction girls.
I don't think I ever watched an episode of Petticoat Junction.
Edgar Buchanan is Uncle Joe.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And here's Uncle Joe. He's yeah. a moving kind of slow at the junction. Petticoat Junction. Great theme song.
And I remember that was about the height of sexuality when they throw their dresses
Water tower. I don't, probably not. Probably a little obscure for us, unless they did a lot of other stuff. We tend to run into trouble with guests who've done one famous for one thing. But remember the show fondly.
I've got one from Mark Loftus.
Okay.
Mark Loftus wants to know, how did the Richard Donner episode not have a question about George Maharis and Perfecto Teles? I'll edit out Max in the back later.
can we keep the screaming to a minimum out there? how did the Richard Donner episode not have a question about George Maharis?
Well, we had to fit in the Danny Thomas story.
I guess he means because what he's leaving out is, does he mean because Richard Donner directed episodes of Route 66 with George Maharis? I guess that's where he's going.
Oh, then we're like going to have to get Richard Donner
get him back just for that, just for that purpose. What do you got, Rayburn?
Well, I don't know where the hell I am here. This guy may have never heard the podcast, but let's go with it anyway. The perfect storm of Hollywood lore, outlaw exploits, and nut job conspiracy theories. Who's he talking about? Randy Quaid.
Right.
Could we get Randy Quaid as a guest?
You got a net?
It was. I would love to have Randy Quaid. Yeah,
Gilbert enjoys
show.
He enjoys the meltdown guests.
Yes.
he likes a Corey Feldman, a Gary Busey. Gilbert would be happy to interview David Berkowitz through plexiglass on this show. Or the dog. he's not particular.
It's my favorite thing with Randy Quaid. Is when he went into hiding in Canada, and in Canada held a press conference to announce, I'm hiding out in Canada.
My favorite was the sex clip he released of him and his wife, Evie, wearing masks.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
that was even so more disturbing.
Nobody would know who it was.
Nobody would know it was Randy Quaid.
After like the fifth time, I'm like, I'm not watching this anymore.
Exactly.
It sucks.
Exactly. Excellent in The Last Detail, in Quick Change, and so many movies.
Terrific actor.
Yeah, very fun.
Tony Shalhoub was great in Quick Change.
Tony Shalhoub we should get. He's in New York.
He's been here at Nutmeg a number of times. Yes. I recorded him for a couple of movies, right. And he's starring just up the
street. Tell Darren to put Tony Shalhoub on the list.
He just won a Tony, so he's going to be harder to get than he would have been a week ago.
Ah, stop.
This
show has cred, baby.
I did three episodes of Wings.
There you go.
So, there you go.
Were you on Monk?
No.
Okay. All right. We're going to chase Tony Shalhoub.
Nothing that happened in the past five decades. We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, who's up next?
I got one pulled up. This ties back to the gifts we got from Kirk Hammett. But Terry Motley wants to know, most prized memorabilia owned by each of you.
Oh, my gosh. Memorabilia? Ooh. Oh, God. Did you keep Herman the Asiatic Insect?
Yes.
Okay, you still have it.
And I thought that one was lost, and we were looking for something else, and I thought, oh, my God, there it is.
Wow.
And I have that poster of Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's good. That's a cool. That's vintage, that poster of Frankenstein? That's an original?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you bought that in the 60s?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
That's in Gilbert's living room.
Yeah. So get ready to snort some coke or whatever.
Oh, it's a drinking game.
I was a kid. I ordered that. And I also have an autographed Wolfman photo signed by Lon Chaney.
Very cool. Wow. Very cool. I don't have a lot of great merch that I've held on to over the years. I've gone back and bought some of it. I bought some Green Hornet stuff from the 60s at Comic Cons and such. But my prized possession is my personalized letter from Frank Capra, but that's not memorabilia. I'll talk about it sometime on the show. Yeah.
You've got the Gilbert. One of my favorite things of yours that I've seen are the life masks.
Those are great.
Oh, yeah.
He's got great life masks.
Yeah. Lon Chaney, Vincent Price, Bela Lugosi, and Al Pacino.
And Simon Oakland. Yeah.
Yes.
My favorite memorabilia is the Gilbert labeled shampoo bottles from the screen.
Also great.
And
hard to come by.
I've got two autographed photos from Katharine Hepburn.
Two?
Yeah.
You know what's pretty cool is that Simpsons cartoon that you have in your bathroom.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. One of the artists drew a picture of me like post-coitus with Marge and Lisa.
Yeah.
And Marge is there with her tits out.
That's
smoking
a
cigarette. That's
a pretty cool thing.
And me yelling, I love LA.
I wouldn't call it memorabilia.
Yes.
All right, who's next?
So here's one that you, let me see if you guys know this one. Kevin Rogers shared in a photo, a publicity photo from, let's see here, Claudia Jennings is in this, Maureen McCormick, William Conrad, and a bunch of other faces members of this group will know from 70s drive-in goodness. Any idea?
Maureen McCormick and William Conrad?
It says, the poster says, this show contains 100 proof women running shine across the county line.
Don't know it.
Moonshine County Express.
They made a million of those things.
They make it every night.
When I hear William Conrad, I think about William Conrad sending MASH notes to Joyce Van Patten, which she revealed on this show. Do you remember that, Gilbert?
Oh.
Or calling her house and trying to get a date with her? Cannon. Remember Cannon?
Yes.
William Conrad?
Yeah, and he used to always be on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
He was the announcer for The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
It's another case there where you two have unearthed Hollywood secrets.
Once again. Gilbert has crystallized my thoughts eloquently. And William Conrad was the original Marshall Dillon on the radio.
Oh, yes, yes.
Gunsmoke, when Gunsmoke was a radio drama. Mr. Verderoso?
He would have been a great interviewer.
Oh, all those guys. Dennis Weaver.
Yes.
Mike Connors, we tried for. Mannix.
Yes.
He was in poor health.
I've got a good one, and it's a timely one, from J. Michael Carter. Is there a podcast, a do-over on?
Every single one. There are some that shouldn't have been done in the first place.
And I'm assuming he means this show. I don't think we could do
it. Does he mean this particular podcast? What does he mean by do-over?
Maybe one that didn't go well.
Which one did go well?
There are a couple episodes buried in Gilbert's backyard in a shoebox that will never see the light of day.
I have to interject. There are 212 episodes released of this show. Some of them are pretty good.
At least 12. I will stand by at least 12.
Hey, speaking of midget actors.
Yeah. Yeah. Were we?
Yes.
There's this actor, Frank Vaccaro.
Okay.
That if you saw him, you'd recognize him in a second.
He wasn't Mickey on Seinfeld, was he?
There was, well, there's another one.
I'll look him up.
Tony something who was in.
I'll look him up. Frank Vaccaro. You sure you got the name right?
I think something like Vaccaro. Okay. He was in, I think, American Drive-In.
Oh, my God.
Vaccaro sounds Italian.
Where are you coming up with this stuff?
And then there's another one, Tony something, who was in that one with Billy Bob Thornton.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He shows up in all those crappy kind of movies that try to be.
I know
be
who you
parodies.
Mean.
There were,
he's a black actor.
There were two or three Bad Santas, weren't there, at least?
I don't know this Frank Vaccaro that you speak of, and he's not coming up in my Google. So
okay,
we'll have to,
if you look up American Drive-In.
Okay.
Was, I think, the name
All right, while I look it up, I have a Frank Vaccaro who died in Fairfield, Connecticut, but he was a plumber.
Okay.
Good. I've seen enough. A lot of his work, though.
Yeah, his work. Really good. Underrated work. Okay, keep them coming, and I'll look up American Drive-In.
Okay, so I just have a reaction here, not a question, but
as we wind down.
Sean Mason writes in to say, I'm sure I don't have to tell Gil and Frank how fucking amazing the Peter Fonda interview was.
How nice.
You couldn't have written a goddamn interview that was better than that. Honestly, incredibly revealing, and what a denouement. Being Hank Fonda's kid was no picnic, obviously, and Peter's openness about that relationship was astounding. And an interview for the ages.
That's nice.
Perfect.
How flattering. No,
sorry, that's a typo. Interview for the aged.
Yeah. Very good. That was a good episode. We were thrilled to have him in here.
Yeah.
You know, that's when the show is peaking. You know, when we're sitting with a Carl Reiner, a Dick Van Dyke, a Peter Fonda, Jimmy Webb was in here.
Peter Fonda is the living embodiment of the 60s.
Yes. And he's perfect for what we do. He's a historical figure.
Although it was, as we noted a couple of times, you asked him a question about something. He says, let me tell you what happened. And then got off somewhere and never quite.
He went on a few tangents.
That was the best cheeseburger I ever had.
We loved him. All right, I'm looking at the cast of American Drive-In from 1985.
Yes.
I have Emily Longstreth, Patrick Curtin, Rhonda Sales now, Joel Bennett, John Rice, Allison Heath, Mika, Kevin Miller, Bernard White, Larry Cortinas, Flip Kobler. I do not have your midget actor.
Oh, geez.
Danny Nucci, Buck Carter, David Donham, Joseph Maletti. No, I do not have a Frank Ficarra.
Wow.
So we're gonna have to do some extra research on this to connect the dots for you. I gave it a shot.
Wow.
I got a question. We maybe
and what was
go
the
on?
The guy Tony something?
I'll look him up. Tony. He's the guy from Bad Santa. What do you got, Frankie?
Okay. Jim Schmalbach.
Love him. Love his work.
I don't know how he got us. When was the most recent time that Gilbert didn't recognize Frank outside of the studio?
Tonight.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago.
My brother-in-law, Rodney, is a set dresser on Crashing, and Gilbert did a guest spot. So I said, here's what you do. You go up to him, and you introduce yourself, and you'll chat with him because he's a fan.
Yeah.
Calls me the next day, says, I went up to Gilbert. I said, hi, I'm Frank's brother-in-law. He stared at me for about 4 minutes.
Oh, wait. We have our guest.
Tony Cox is the name of that actor.
Tony Cox.
Our guest just pulled up on his own research, Paul.
Yes.
On his phone. This is his first time even seeing this show.
Yes, he won a contest, I understand.
Can you say the name out loud?
Phil
Fondacaro.
That's it.
Phil Fondacaro.
Put that phone away. Jeff, put that phone away.
Yes. He's got a very gruff-sounding voice.
Phil Fondacaro?
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't realize what he'd won was a new research position on the podcast.
Like those old laughing bits. If Yvonne DiCarlo married Phil DiCarlo.
Yes, yes.
So he's
a guinea midget.
That won't offend anybody.
No.
Somebody named Akaria Adam Podiavsky wrote in and simply said, the undersea world of Jean Cocteau.
Yes, Gilbert had a little confusion.
Gilbert made a joke then that I thought was a great joke, if you don't mind. I won't be able to tell it the way you did, but he started playing with Jacques Cousteau and fooling around. He says, you walked in here dripping wet and smelling of trout.
Yes, that's
I thought
Gilbert.
Trout was exactly the right fish to make that joke. That was salmon wouldn't have worked.
No trout. One is more clever at covering his own mistakes than Gilbert Gottfried.
I've had so much experience.
This Phil Fondacaro's had quite a career.
He has.
He's in Devil Dolls. He's in Evil Bong. He's in the Polar Express as an elf.
We'll have to get him.
Phil Fondacaro. All righty.
Heard he's a little hard to get.
All right. That's a wrap, kids.
It is.
Thank you for the questions.
Done so soon?
Done so soon. We're at the 28-minute mark.
Did it ever begin?
I've got to get out of here and take care of my knuckles.
Thank you to the Listener Society. Thank you, Frank, for the idea. Thank you, Paul Knuckleless Raybone. I know a good hand specialist.
Thank you.
We'll talk.
This has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing, colossal obsession.
Thank you all.